GrassStation Podcast provides weekly updates, tips, product reviews, and coaching on cool season residential lawn programs, helping you save time, effort, and money all season long. Stay tuned. Thanks for tuning into the GrassStation Podcast. My name's Marty. I'm your host. And today we're going to be talking about some of the first steps that everyone can be taking in their lawns before they even have to think about preparing their equipment or getting any fertilizers or product purchased right now. There's a few initial steps that we can all be taking to really get a lay of the land and understand what our goals are for the season. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great show. But first and foremost, I'd really like to welcome you in to the first ever episode of the GrassStation Podcast. I'd like to thank my wife and my four beautiful daughters for having put up with my grass talk far too much of it for far too long. So this was created in an effort to hopefully reach a community of people that can benefit from this information, as well as people that are interested in learning about the grass and talking about the grass. I've really developed an affinity for lawn care over the last several years after becoming a homeowner. As a kid, you know, I'd get grounded once in a while and I'd have to mow the lawn, but it didn't really hit me until I owned my own piece of property that I was interested in the way that the lawn care was presenting to the neighborhood. We renovated our home, and alongside of that, I really wanted to have a stand-apart lawn that just really made our home look beautiful. So, and on top of that, having children was another motivator as well, because I wanted them to have a nice plush lawn to be able to play on and run around in the backyard without any shoes on and not have to complain about weeds and gross things prickling their feet and things like that. So, and you know, I started out like a lot of homeowners do. I didn't have a large sum of money that I was able to throw at a lawn care service. I didn't have a significant amount of knowledge that I could throw at my lawn. I didn't have a whole lot of time because I had, you know, multiple children at the point of when I started learning as well. So it really was a challenge to try and figure things out on my own. And I dove into the world of the internet and jumped on a few different programs that helped me learn a lot. But there was a good year of complete lack of direction and lack of understanding other than what I'd learned from a couple of close friends who had run a lawn care program earlier on in their like high school years. But really, I learned how to use a lawnmower that first year of owning a home. When we bought the house, the home came with a lawnmower, but I went to turn it on or, you know, start it up the first time and it didn't work. We took it to Ace Hardware. They tried to rebuild the carburetor on it, and it was just a really bad first experience. And then shortly thereafter, a buddy of mine had lent me his. Well, this mower was a very old mower, one that was in very poor condition, but it worked. And he taught me a lot about how to manage your equipment. This particular mower needed a lot of extra assistance. We used to call her Old Betsy, and she needed to be spoken to nicely. If you got mad at her, she wouldn't work for you. You really had to talk nice to her. And it had this primer bulb on it that you had to almost breathe for her to get it started for the first several minutes. And once she was roared up, she did pretty good, but it was definitely a challenge. So that first year of being a homeowner, I'm battling this concept of learning equipment and then trying to add on top of it how and when to fertilize and how and when to water, how much, when do I do that during the day. And on top of that, I also have a busy work schedule that I work downtown and I live out in the suburbs. So I really struggled for time. And then over about a year's worth of mowing on a consistent basis, I told myself from that, you know, initial point of purchasing the home, just once a week, mow it once a week, you'll be fine. But doing that for a year was good. It definitely it helped me learn my land and helped me do, you know, a lot of observation to learn what I needed to fix. And one summer, I just I went crazy. I went absolutely crazy and started ripping out sections of my lawn. I go inside, I'm full of dirt. My wife's looking at me like I'm nuts. She's like, what's going on? And I told her, we have so many things in the lawn that I need to just rip it out and start fresh. I had no idea what I was doing. It turns out I was ripping out crabgrass. It was the middle of the summer. And of course, that all dies in the winter. And, you know, a simple pre-emergent can prevent crabgrass. But I didn't know that. So what did I do? I ripped it out. And I went online and I found a couple programs. And that day I told her, I was like, all right, I've got a plan. We need to go buy an aerator. I need to go buy a bunch of seed. And I need to get some Milorganite. She's like, Milorga what? I was like, Milorganite. It's apparently this wonderful product that fixes everything. You know, of course, it's an organic fertilizer. And, you know, it's a great starter fertilizer for people that aren't super familiar with how to apply fertilizer products. But, you know, I came in roaring about this product and I went to go find it. And lo and behold, I had my first lawn care experience that wasn't just dealing with a mower. And I rented this mechanical aerator and decided, you know, to really kind of take it by the horns and have at it. And so I did. That was a weekend project that I did. I had thrown down several different products and let it all just kind of, you know, soak in after I had watered it in, and spent hours out there trying to repair this lawn. And sure enough, I had issues, but I was able to reach out to a couple of different groups that I'm in on Facebook and get some knowledge. And it really was the start of learning how to do my own lawn care program, because there's always a different scenario. I learned that I was battling different weeds that other people don't typically have, very difficult to deal with weeds. It took me down the road of learning the herbicides. And I also then had the challenge of my children's playset stuff. And we had a forest in the backyard. We had to rip out and do stump grinding, and we had to regrade portions of the lawn, and we had to install a fence. So that property really threw me into the deep end with learning a lot of these different things that I could have spent a fortune to have people come out and fix for me, but I didn't have the luxury of that, of the money to be able to do that at the time. So, with that, you know, I was able to kind of learn, teach myself through trial and error. I chopped down a forest, cut my finger real bad one day, and I think I took down 40 trees with my wife's butcher knife. She wasn't too happy about that, but I saved about $5,000, you know, so it was a good deal. I bought her a new, well, I think I still owe her a new kitchen knife set. Hopefully she's not listening to this and that doesn't remind her of that, but anyway, I learned a lot in the process of managing my own property. So that's kind of leading me into my initial step here. Now that we're in the 2021 lawn season, no matter where in the country you are, no matter what size your lawn is, if you're going to be tending a lawn this year, my very first recommendation to anybody, whether you're new to lawn care, whether you're new to home ownership or to running a business or running a program in lawn care, that you need to assess your land. You need to assess your situation. The very first thing that anybody needs to be doing, especially now that we're coming out of winter, is going out and looking at our property. I'd like you to walk your property and look at every detail that you can. The winter has done considerable damage to some of our yards. Nothing that's not, you know, can't be repaired. But it's certain things will happen in our yards that will need more attention than others. So I want people to get out with a rake right now and rake out their yards, because especially here in the Chicagoland area, I live here in Elgin. I grew up in the city, but I moved out once I started having kids. And out here, we just recently had our snow melt. We had about 2 feet of snow sitting on top of our lawn since January or, you know, late December. So that 2 feet of snow had our lawn completely flat. And people in Chicago also experienced this. Midwest, most of the country has been under snow for months. So people that are now just seeing their lawns, wondering if, first of all, if their lawns are dead. No, they're most likely not. It's possible they're dormant, so a lot of them are going to be yellow, especially up here in the north, right? But they're also looking at this and they're seeing sections of what looks like mold, right? So it's snow mold. What is snow mold, right? So when you think about snow mold, what's happening? It's when the lawn hasn't had an opportunity to freeze, when the ground hasn't had an opportunity to freeze before you're dumped on by a large snowstorm. And that's exactly what happened here. It was probably mid-January that we got hit really hard with heavy snow, and it just continued. Some people in the city saw like multiple feet. We had about 2 feet out here in Elgin. And what happens is when the ground doesn't have the opportunity to freeze, and a lot of us have put down like a winter fertilizer, you know, winterizer, so there's still nitrogen feeding the lawn. And what's nice about those winterizer applications is it usually helps, you know, really speed things up here in the early spring. Instead, it was growing underneath this deep layer of snow. And it has nowhere to grow to. It has nowhere to go. So it's going to grow up and down, and it's going to flatten out in your lawn. But more so, what's going to happen is it's going to keep that microbial life, and it's going to keep everything growing down there, creating perfect conditions for mold. And that's exactly what happens, is these mold spores are born on your grass, and they'll sit there and they'll do virtually no damage, right? In some circumstances, you may need to apply a fungicide, but 99% of people that are going to be listening to this, the solution is to rake it out. You're going to see it kind of turn into a powder and fly away. It's going to be beautiful. And then it's done, right? You know, most people are sitting there scratching their head. Do I need to reseed? Do I need to resod? Get a rake out there, dry it out, get that mold off of there. You'll see it in your mulch too. Sometimes you might see big chunks of like circular white, you know, mold. And 9 times out of 10, you know, you're just going to have to rake it out. It's no problem. So it's a great opportunity to learn your land again and stand up that grass, dry it out, get that snow mold off of it, and really get control of your lawn. And a lot of people, especially in my neighborhood, in the city, and kind of all around the Chicagoland area, are experiencing this snow mold. It's nothing to be afraid of. Don't panic. A lot of people's yards are going to look really bad right now as they're starting to wake up for the early spring season. So when you take your rake out, the idea here is that you want to simply, you know, rake some air into the soil. You want to get the crown of the plant oxygen so that oxygen can get down into the roots and help to dry out the plant, first of all, as well as to give it the oxygen it needs to survive. When you're doing that, when you're out raking this flat grass and you're raking off the snow mold, I want you to be cognizant of your property. I want you to look around and see all of the damages. Some people will see vole damage, right? Vole, kind of like field mice. Some people may have moles. You may notice that there are some tracks in your lawn. A big question a lot of people are having right now, should I be seeding in the spring? Well, we're not there yet, right? It's still very early in the season. And oftentimes I will recommend against a spring seeding for several reasons, which I'll get into later on. But as you're looking around, I want you to be aware of any of those damages that you've seen from the winter. For those of us, for those of you who have dogs, look to see if you've got giant mounds of manure, of dog poop laying around somewhere. Hey, it might be good fertilizer later on, but right now we want to clear all that up. If you have urine spots, maybe you're going to need to target those for where your dogs have been using the bathroom. So there's different things to be concerned about when you're out raking, and it's a great opportunity to learn your land and learn everything that is happening to your land. One of the biggest concerns that everyone needs to overcome before they can expect to have a luscious lawn is we need to know a water program. We need to know what's happening with our water management. We need to know where the water downspouts, the gutter downspouts are, where they're dispersing the water is number one. If your downspouts are flooding your lawn, you're never going to have a luscious situation. You're always going to, you may potentially have weeds there, but primarily if your grading is not right, then that's going to cause some issues to have water seeping into your basement or into your crawl space. If we don't have water flowing away from the home, then we're in trouble, right? Or if we have massive amounts of water flowing right into the middle of the lawn that have nowhere else to go, we're in trouble, right? So we don't want pooling of water. And if you notice that somewhere, take note of it. I want all of the water areas to be reviewed. Every downspout needs to be looked at. Make sure it's going to the lowest point of your property. And if you don't have a drain at your lowest point of your property, consider things like French draining. Consider things like installing a drainage system. Because if you don't manage the water, you're never going to get ahead in your lawn care program. This is a perfect time to be thinking about your long-term goals before you have to spend any money. Most of us own a rake. If you don't own a rake, fine. I guess that could have been misleading, but purchase a rake. You know, you want one that's not going to do a lot of damage. You don't want one that's going to rip up the lawn. Something that's got long, skinny fingers on there that can kind of really aerify the lawn. So you want to have a good rake. But while you're doing this, think about your long-term strategy here. You know, if you are considering a seeding project, or you're considering a repair project, or you're thinking about possibly changing up your strategy a little bit, think long-term, right? So if you know next year you're installing a pool in your backyard and your lawn's going to get chewed up, it makes no sense this year to do a seeding in the fall or to do anything of significant nature if you know in a season from now, when you get a promotion or whatever the case may be, that your plan is to build an addition, or your plan is to build a pool, right? Because you're going to have a significant amount of construction happening on your land. So I took this approach last year. I was having an irrigation system installed, and some of you may be looking to do that. I knew this, so I wasn't very concerned about heavily watering and staying on top of my plan like I would have been if I didn't know that I was having an irrigation system installed. You can go back and look at some of my pictures from last year, July. It was in rough shape. We had a patio installed. We had the fence installed. We had an irrigation system installed. You know, moving into a new property, it was kind of a lot of things happening all at once. And so think about that. Think about your long-term goals there. If you're going to build a deck next year, whatever the case, you don't want to spend a lot of time and effort on building something or doing something to your lawn if ultimately you know you're just going to have to chew it up in a year or two. So think about your long-term goals and think about your strategy. And while we're thinking about some of those long-term goals and our strategy, it's also important to think about where we fall on the spectrum of resources. What's our budget? What's our time allocation? And how much energy are we willing to put into this? If you're, say, for instance, a newer homeowner in my situation that I was in several years ago, with limited funds, limited availability, limited time, limited resources, that's a strategy that we need to focus on. That's one particular strategy. Say, for instance, you're another individual who's seeking more time in the lawn. Maybe you're a retiree and you're looking to spend more time because you now have this luxury of time that you didn't before, but you still may be limited on resources because you're trying not to live beyond your means. Say, for instance, you're somebody that is completely crunched for time, but you absolutely want to do this yourself, and you've only got 1 week a month that you can put things down. That's a different strategy. I think throughout the year of doing my property, I'll be able to give a lot of really good advice to anyone in those particular situations, kind of highlighting some of the things that other people might do in their situations, using my lawn and some of the project lawns that I'm working on as an example for those specific situations. For instance, I've got a friend up the street here in Elgin who I'm hopeful to help guide a little bit on this lawn care journey too. So keeping them informed on what they should be doing is going to be very cool. I've also got a project lawn in the city where my mother-in-law is planning on listing her home in the near future, but I renovated her property last year, and this year it's looking great. So we're going to keep that looking great until she sells, and I think it's going to be a great selling feature that we've got a fresh, established new lawn, and it's looking really, really good. So that's a real small space. It's probably only like 2,000 square feet total, 2,500 max. and was really, really in rough shape. And we definitely spent a good several hours trying to renovate that lawn. But I'm going to be doing projects like that throughout the season. I'm going to be helping to help give the perspective from different property sizes, different budget levels, and different levels of participation, if you will. So those are some things to really consider before you ever have to spend any money on fertilizer yet, or any of your soil amendments or anything like that. I want everybody out there walking their land. I want them to be raking their lawn, standing up that grass because it's been matted down for months. That's going to help open it up. That's going to help get things rolling. Then once you've gotten that done, just keep your eye out on all the water issues that might be happening on your property that you might need to fix. If you need to bury downspouts, think about that. We can have a plan for when you'll do that in the season and how you can recover from anything like that. And on top of, you know, keeping an eye out on your property and learning your property like that, it's really important to be thinking about your long-term goals and long-term strategies, because we can put together a plan that will fit your particular situation. Because no one's going to succeed with a generic plan. There's a lot of really basic horticultural practices that we can all be participating in once the season gets up and rolling here. But it's very important from day one, before you get out there and you start, you know, applying product and spending money, that you have a full understanding of what your full season is going to look like. Because if you're not, you're selling yourself short, and you could potentially be spending more money than you'd like to, and it may hurt you long run if you're not applying the products that you're hoping to achieve this a certain success with. And that leads me into my last sort of initial step here with any kind of initial spring preparations before we have to talk about buying product and before we have to talk about getting our equipment set up for the next season. And it's a soil test. Now, I understand you might need to purchase a soil test, but there are ways to get a soil test done for free. You could, first of all, talk to your local county extension. They are a wonderful resource to you if you're trying to learn what is in your soil. Some of them will offer you a free soil test. Some may not. Others will direct you to a university that could test your soil for you, as well as there's so many different products online that are very inexpensive. And that's kind of why I say before you spend money, because they're so relatively cheap. They're like $30, and you can get one. I just did two of them for my yard. I did a front yard and a backyard at yardmastery.com. They've got a lot of great products there. And that's where my soil tests were done. I did it through Soil Savvy last year, and a couple of other ones throughout my lawn care career. So you can definitely find them free. They're a little bit more difficult to read, but I would highly recommend getting a soil test done if you can before you put any product down, because what this will do is it will give you a very clear starting point as to what is in your soil and what your grass can uptake. So I'll walk you through a little bit of what my soil test looked like as a for instance of what you might experience here on yours. So I purchased a soil probe, which you can then stick into the ground and it'll pull up a plug. And the particular one that I have is pretty deep. It goes about 20 inches. But I pulled a 6-inch plug. And you can tell a lot about your soil just by pulling one of these plugs. You can tell what your thatch layer looks like. And what is thatch? Thatch is the layer between the soil and the grass line that has a lot of your decaying debris from your lawn clippings and other things like that. Really, in a healthy lawn, it should be no thicker than about a quarter inch to a half inch thick. A little bit of thatch layer is important because it's helping to blot out some of the sun right on the direct soil line, and it's helping to retain moisture, right? So you don't want to have a zero thatch layer. You want about a quarter of an inch for healthy turf. And then below that, you'll see your soil composition. When I pulled my plug, I did an kind of an in-depth video about this that I'll link in my on the Facebook page. But you can see a lot of things from this. So you see the thatch layer and the grass line. You can then see how deep your roots go. You can pull apart the plug and see if they go at least to 3 to 4 inches. Now, my sod was laid last year in March. So it's almost it's a one-year anniversary for my sod. And as I pull these plugs, you'll notice I have a very, very thick thatch layer. My roots have an extremely difficult time penetrating my clay soil. Now, I'm not positive, but I believe the contractors did not put down topsoil when they sodded my property. The whole thing looks like thick compressed clay. And I knew this going in May of last year when we purchased the home, that it was a hard property. We went in May, so it was looking good when we got there, but they were kind of letting it grow really long and then chopping it at the knees. So it was kind of brownish already going into May. And then June and July, the temperatures just really scorched this Kentucky bluegrass lawn. I did as much as I could to maintain, but I knew I was getting an irrigation system, so I didn't worry too hard. Otherwise, I probably would have aerated right away, you know, just to kind of mechanically pull these plugs and allow for air into the soil. But I didn't want to do that because what's the point if I'm just going to be, chewing it up here in a couple months? And I ended up getting the irrigation system installed last September. So with that, I just decided to kind of do what I could and keep it wet, you know, during the winter or during the summer and do as much as I could. I continued to mow it regularly, but I did not focus very heavily on the compaction or the clay. Well, this year I want to change that. This year I got the soil test, and it'll give you a lot of different pieces of information to look at. So it'll give you your pH, and that's a really, really important step. If your pH is out of whack, then you're not going to have any growth. It's just not going to work. If it's acidic, it's not going to happen. And if it's alkaline, it's also not going to happen. You really want to be in this like between like 5.5 at your lowest point to about a 7 pH. So I know right now I'm a little bit high in my front yard and my backyard. I'm a 7.28, 7.33. So that I know I've got to bring that pH down over time. So that's part of my strategy. How am I going to bring down my pH? We'll get into that. But then I also can tell what's in my soil for the available nutrients. My nitrogen, that's the first letter on your analysis that you'll find on any fertilizer bag. You know, you might see like a 10-10-10 at Home Depot, which would be a starter vert. And that first number that you're looking at is nitrogen. And that number corresponds to the percent of product that is in it. So if you see a 10-10-10, that means that it's 10% nitrogen, 10% phosphorus, 10% potassium, right? It's at the percent of its value inside of that product. Most tests will then go and break down a little bit further your micronutrients, things like sulfur, calcium, magnesium, sodium, iron, manganese, zinc, copper, boron, things like that. Stuff that's a little bit more difficult to follow than just like your regular NPK, right? But all very, very essential nutrients to your lawn. So I've learned through my soil test that I'm pretty much below optimal in almost every realm. I'm a little bit high pH, so I know I got to bring that down. I'm low in nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, iron, all of these things. So I know that I can bomb it heavy this year with products. But the question becomes, if I apply a lot of product, will the soil be able to feed my grass with it? Well, I've also noticed that I've got high calcium and magnesium. So that means that those nutrients are going to have a difficult time being fed to the lawn because of the high magnesium. What I've learned is that the magnesium makes the soil compacted, high levels of magnesium and calcium make it compacted, and it is basically making it oversaturated when it's wet and extremely dry and hard when it's dry. So it's really hard for the roots to push through and to do their job and to dive deep for the water. So some of those things can be repaired by irrigation, right? How often are you watering? And that needs to be a huge first consideration, is how often are you watering? Put together a plan for irrigation. If you're going to be moving sprinklers, have a timer and figure out a way to make this as easy as possible for you. And I say that because you want to be deep and infrequent with your watering. You don't want to hit the lawn every day for 20 minutes because it's going to learn that, and those roots are going to stay right at the surface. If they learn, they've got to dive deep to get water because they're struggling to find it at the surface. That's what you want. That's where you're going to push hard your roots. And that's what my goal is this year. So now that I've got the irrigation, now that I've got things in place, I know for sure that that is a number one priority for me, was getting my irrigation set up. And that's done. So this year, I don't have to worry about that. And I can focus on feeding it when I need to feed it and watering it when I need to water it. So, and I know that was like a really brief crash course on soil testing. I'm going to get into a little bit more of what my test breaks down to in a future episode. But really wanted to provide you with some of that baseline knowledge of what you can expect in your guys' soil tests. And something I highly recommend, even in people that are familiar with their lawns, to get another baseline. Say it's been a couple of years since you've applied the knowledge of a soil test, and you know what you're putting into it, so you have an expectation of what you're going to get out of it. It would be great to then do a test to kind of confirm that for you, to just keep your strategy in line if it's working well. And if you notice there's a change, or say you've got really high phosphorus, because that's something that takes a long time to break down in your soil, but you notice that your nitrogen and your potassium levels are okay. Think about it like this. When you're coming across the products that you want to be purchasing in the store, if you've got your soil test, you know what to get. But if you're thinking about it in more of a layman's term, I like to think about it from this analogy of up, down, and around. The nitrogen is going to push top growth. The phosphorus is really going to help push roots and rooting. And then the potassium is going to help with all around stress in the lawn. So think about that. Think about if you're going to be buying products, what you're going to be thinking about. If you've got the soil test, a lot of them will offer you a recommendation on fertilizer. But we're going to get in deep about fertilizers in the coming episodes, because it's right along that time. We're going to be talking about pre-emergence, because it's, why not? Everybody's talking about pre-emergence right now. It's what you do. It's the early spring season. But we're going to be talking about what to apply, when to apply, and then those first applications of fertilizer, what to expect as well. So those are my initial steps. I really want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this first show. And if you liked what you heard, awesome. Please feel free to like us and subscribe. My Facebook page is at grassstation.net. I'm still working out some of the kinks on the website and things like that, but really appreciate any comments you might have. Feel free to post some pictures of your lawns and any specific questions that you've got, anything you'd like to hear covered here in the Grass Station podcast. But with that, you know, I'm going to let you guys off and stay tuned. I'm hopeful to have this be a weekly interaction of what I'm doing in my lawns, that you guys are up to date with what you guys might want to be doing in your lawns. Have a great week. Take care. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time.